Today is June 3rd, year 2007, and it's the feast day of the Most Holy and Blessed Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It's also the first Sunday after Pentecost. So we're now starting today in the time after Pentecost. The Paschal season ended yesterday. Now, today is the one of the most special and important feast days in the Church, celebrating and glorifying the Most Holy Trinity, which is, as everybody should know, that under the New Covenant era, that if you don't believe in the Most Holy Trinity, there's no hope to be saved. And that's the very basic thing that you first have to believe in, but it's not the only thing. But without believing in the Most Holy Trinity under the New Covenant era, you're in a state of damnation and you can't be saved. Because Jesus Christ came to reveal that God exists in three persons, even though He's only one God. That's what us Catholics call the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Now, in the Old Covenant era, the Old Testament era, in the time of Adam, you had to believe in the God of Adam. And then when Noah and the ark and the flood came, you had to believe in the God of Noah during that period of time, and the God of Adam. And then when Abraham came, you had to believe in the God of Abraham, and the God of Noah, and the God of Adam. All the same God, under different titles that he has, as he's revealing himself to men. And then under Abraham is where he made the Old Covenant. And then, in the New Covenant era, when Jesus came, he then told us, you now have to believe in the God of the Catholic Church, who is also the Most Holy Trinity. He revealed to us the mystery of the Holy Trinity, that God exists as one God, but there's three persons in God. Now, we're going to get into the doctrines where you're going to learn about where God has little hints in the Old Testament that he does exist in three persons. But he didn't explicitly teach us until Jesus came, and that was his job, to reveal this nature of God existing in three persons. And that's when Jesus came to reveal us to mankind, and from the time of Pentecost Sunday, from that time forward, all men were obliged to believe in the God of the Catholic Church, who is the Most Holy Trinity, the God of who is the God of Abraham, who is the God of Noah, and who is the God of Adam. He's all the same God. You can't be worshiping the true God if you knock out any one of those titles of God. You can't say that you believe in the God of Abraham, but not the God, the Most Holy Trinity. You can't say that, because then you're denying the true God. You can't deny any one of these titles of God. Now, we're going to briefly just discuss to you the dogma of the Holy Trinity, and then we're going to go into some Bible verses showing to you where it's taught, so we can refute a lot of the heretics who don't believe in the Holy Trinity, and also help people who aren't even so-called Christians. Well, actually, the people that refute the Holy Trinity today, while professing to believe in Jesus Christ, in particular, the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons, and also you have a group that we know about called they hold on to the modalist heresy. What is the name of that?
They're Pentecostal.
Yeah, are they called Pentecostal? What do they call themselves? What's the church they call themselves here in New Mexico? They have a name for it. They believe in Jesus is God, but they believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is all one person.
Right.
Yeah. It's like just different titles. There's no three persons. Each one denies the Holy Trinity while professing to have some type of belief in Christ. We're going to show you the scripture passages that defend the dogma of the Holy Trinity. But we're going to briefly talk about what that dogma is. The dogma of the Holy Trinity states that there is only one God who exists in three persons. God the Father is the first person of the Holy Trinity. God the Son is the second person of the Holy Trinity. And God the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Holy Trinity. And these three divine persons are one God, not three gods. When Jesus became man in the womb of Mary, he was not only God, as he always was, but was now also man. Hence Jesus, from the time he became man, has two natures, the nature of God and the nature of man. And because he has two natures, he also has two wills, not one will. He has a divine will and he has a human will. While Jesus is both God and man, he is only one person. And because his divine nature dominates his human nature, he is a divine person and not a human person. Hence, the Athanasian Creed professes that Jesus, since he became man, is one person, not by conversion of the Godhead into the flesh, but by the taking of the manhood into God. If Jesus were more than one person, then one of the persons would be Jesus and the other a new person who could not also be Jesus. Hence, this other person would have to be a creature created, and hence could not be God. So Jesus remains one person, even during the incarnation. He's always just one person. But now he has a second nature, that of man. And he took the manhood into divinity. The divinity did not get dissolved into the manhood. Okay, so the proper belief in this is that there's these three persons are still one God, not three gods. That's the mystery. Whether you can comprehend it or not, doesn't matter. You have to subject your faith to this dogma, because there are certain things we read in Ecclesiastes 3:26 that is not necessary for thee to see with thy eyes think these things that are hidden. In unnecessary matters, be not over curious, and in many of his works, be not inquisitive, because there's many things shown to you above the understanding of men. There's several things that no matter, even in heaven, the Blessed Mother, who's the highest elevated creature of all God's creatures, cannot comprehend completely at all, even God's infinity, or how he can exist in three persons of one God, because she's not God. Only God can totally comprehend these mysteries. And so it's an act of humility, and even it can be proved by logic and common sense, that there has to be certain things about God that us creatures can never understand, because simply we're not God. I say that many times. We can believe God can create out of nothing. He can even show it to us. He can create a tree out of nothing. But we're never, ever going to know how he does it, because we're not God. And this is the same thing with the dogma of the Holy Trinity. So we speak of the Holy Trinity as being three persons, but still he is only one God. And this is the mystery that you must believe with an act of faith, or you'll never get to heaven. And it doesn't stop there. There's other mysteries that you're not going to be able to comprehend, and God knows that. Because if you're trying to comprehend those mysteries that only God can comprehend, what are you really trying to do? You're trying to become God. You're saying, me, Joe, human being, is Superman. I'm so super that I'm God, that I know all things. And no creature can do that. And how could God let any creature like that in heaven, who pretends to think he knows all things? So I'm telling you people out there, even though you cannot comprehend how God can exist as three persons in one God, he certainly does, because he said it, and he doesn't lie, and he proved how good he is and how truthful he is throughout the whole history of mankind. Now, we're going to get into some key verses, and we're going to start with Old Testament verses, we're going to go into New Testament verses. And we're going to talk about in the Old Testament verses where he hints to people already that he is existing as three persons in one God. And I'm going to just name out the key verses that you got that we should all try to remember. I'm talking in particular the children and the men, and even the women should really try to remember him if they could. As I always say to us who read the scriptures every day, I always recommend that as a necessity to anybody who's a Catholic. If you're not reading the scriptures on a daily basis, or at least regularly, I tell you, you don't love God, and you're not going to save your soul. If you're not studying the faith, at least catechisms, reading, this goes, I say, even reading the Holy Scriptures, yes, I do, because it's God's love letter to mankind. It's God also teaching about who he is. Now, these are the verses that you're going to want to remember in defending the dogma of the Holy Trinity. Isaiah 44:24, Genesis 1:26-27, Psalm 103:30, Psalm 32:6, and the New Testament verses, Matthew 28:19, John 14:26, John 16:12, and 1 John 5:7. There's a lot more verses. And I'm just pulling out to the people here a few verses that you can use without loading you down with a lot of other verses that do defend the dogma of the Holy Trinity. In particular, we need to know this, as I said before, from the very birth of the church, the devil attacked the dogma of the Holy Trinity by either trying to say Jesus isn't God, he was just a man, or Jesus is just an angel, or he's attacking the Holy Ghost as the third person of the Holy Trinity, like the Macedonians did. Wasn't it the Macedonians? And they came out and denied that the Holy Ghost was God. They believed Jesus was God and the Father was God, but they denied the Holy Ghost. So the devil was trying any way he could in the beginning to get in there and attack the dogma of the Holy Trinity. The Arians came along and they introduced the heresy that Jesus was just simply a man. And they come up with all different ways of explaining this and different theologies and modes on how this happens, but it comes down to the same thing with the Arian heretics, that Jesus was just a man and he was not God. This is similar to what the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons believe. They believe that Jesus is just an angel, so therefore he's not God neither. So they're attacked, and they don't believe the Holy Ghost is God neither. Then you have the modalists that were, I think, Sibelius, and they have other names for them, that believe that Jesus is God, but he's also the Father and the Holy Ghost. Like there's no three persons. They try to say it's like when a person has three titles. You can be Joe the milkman, and you can be Joe the father, and you can be Joe the truck driver. But they're all the same Joe, you know. But then, you'd be making a liar out of Jesus, because he's always talking to the Father, praying and invoking the Holy Ghost to come as a separate entity. So you're saying God's a liar. That heresy, you're saying God's a liar. Now, in all these groups, one thing we have to, as we're speaking to them, hopefully they're here, and one day they'll be listening to the sermon, that you have no legs to stand on, because none of you claim to be infallible. You don't even claim to be infallible. So how do you know your interpretation is true? At best you can say, I'm guessing, because you claim that no man's infallible, which means your leaders and the people that formed your church, does not have the assurity that you're teaching the truth. That's one of the big things we always hit all these Protestants and schismatics with, is that by your own admission, everything you're teaching could be wrong, so why should we even listen to you? You have no certainty that anything you're teaching is the truth. Secondly, we also go and say you have no link with tradition, that all your beliefs and your unique religious beliefs have no link with people of the past. Even the Arians of the past disagree with the Jehovah's Witnesses of today. Even though they have a few things in common where they don't believe Jesus is God, one believes he's an angel, the other believes he's not an angel. So you cannot go back from the time of Christ and point out anybody that believed as you did in every generation and give us their names. They don't exist. It doesn't happen. Therefore, your church is a tradition of men that was created by men. Only the Catholic Church has all the dogmas and an unbroken line going back to Peter. Now, we're going to talk to you about what our Holy Mother Church has told us about the Holy Trinity, in which we believe, because she goes right back to the time of Christ, has an unbroken line of miracles and testimonies that this is God's one true church. Now, we read from Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer and thy Maker, from the womb I am the Lord, the maker of all things, that alone stretches out heaven, that established the earth, and there is none with me. So God's saying, I am the only God. There is no other God. There is only one God. That's logic, too. We can prove that by logic. The law upon your heart, without even knowing the true God, can know there's one God. Because if there's two God, one has to have something the other doesn't, and therefore one's better than the other, one's God, the other's not. There's other many arguments we can give to prove there can only be one God. Now, that I'm using that verse to we use this verse to establish to people that there's only one God. Okay, now, at the same time, we have a little bit of a strange thing being mentioned here in Genesis 1:25-26. It sounds like there's more than one God. At first reading, you would read this and listen to what God says in Genesis 1:25-26. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, singular, God, and cattle and everything that creepeth on the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And he said, let us make man to our own image and likeness. Now we have a plurality be mentioned here. God is talking about himself in the terms of an us. And we know it's God because he's saying you have this us has the creative power to make man. And we just read in Isaiah 44:24 that only God, there's only one God, and only he has the creative power to create. And God himself is saying there's an us also in this equation. There's an us. He's talking. That's God speaking to the other persons of the Holy Trinity. That's God the Father speaking with God the Son, speaking with God the Holy Ghost. And he's saying, let's us three persons of the Godhead of the Holy Trinity, go and make man in our own image. Irrefutably, here's a really powerful verse already where God's given us a hint that indeed there's three persons in one God. We know it's one God because he says it in the same Old Testament that there's one God. But here he's given us this mystery that there's an us involved in this also, which is a plurality of persons, but the unity of one God, one nature. They all have the divine nature, one nature, but they're three persons. Genesis 1:25-26 drives us home. We also read, okay, if there are three persons, all of them had to take part in creation and redemption, and they all had some part to do in that act of also redeeming man and saving man and creating man. Indeed, when we talk about the Holy Ghost, and we're, as Jesus now had taught us, we know that the Holy Ghost is not just a non-existent person or just the wisdom of God, God's wisdom from his mind. It's a real, actual person. And we can read this, that the Holy Ghost himself creates. We read this in Psalm 130, verse 30. Thou shalt send thy spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. God shall send his spirit, and his spirit shall do the creating. His spirit, the Holy Ghost, is doing the creating. We read this in Psalm 32:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were established, and by all the power of them, by the spirit of his mouth. Here we got God the Father, God the Son, who's the Word, and God the Spirit. All taking part in his power of creation. And these are all still mysteries back in the Old Testament are being hinted at. You know, you still didn't have enough evidence back here at all to believe there's three persons in one God, but we have implications. God's already given hints that there is a Holy Trinity. Then Jesus comes along, and he's the one that makes this manifest to us. And the first thing Jesus made manifest to mankind, and he gave, and we went over this, so I'm not going to dwell on this now, but we know, even this is just refuting the Arians, we have so many verses where Jesus says he's God. And anytime he's sounding like he's only human, it's because he's condescending to his humanity and was not ready to reveal his divinity to mankind yet. And that's clear. Jesus is even telling the apostles when he said, "Thou art the Messiah, the Son of God." He says, "See, thou tellest no one yet who I am." Okay, so he wants people to just believe he's a human in the beginning because he wants to be treated as a human, and he wants to break the fact that he's God on them suddenly, which he does through the scriptures clearly. I'm not going to go into all the divinity verses, but of Jesus saying he is God, John 10:30, "I and the Father are one," John 8:58, he says, "Before Abraham was made, I am," and we have all those verses, which shoots down the Arians, boom, right down to the ground. Now we have God, Jesus specifically saying, "Indeed, I am God." Okay, now, once Jesus has established his authority and his truthfulness of his mission by his death and his resurrection, which was the crowning pinnacle to prove all he was, all that he said he was, he then introduced the dogma of the Holy Trinity to the apostles, and at that time, when he rose from the dead and walked for those 40 days, he's teaching the apostles, indeed, guess what, there's even a third person of the Godhead, and he's the Holy Ghost. He even hinted at this, though, didn't he? He hinted this when he was talking about, in John 14:26, when he was talking about he's going to send a paraclete. He says, "But the paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring all things to your mind, whatsoever I have said to you." And it's the same spirit that was mentioned by King David that creates things from the Psalms. So Jesus is always saying, "I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost." So they're learning about the Holy Ghost. They knew about the Holy Ghost anyway. They knew it existed, but they didn't know if the Holy Ghost existed as a person of the Godhead yet. Jesus was the one to come and tell them that. So first thing Jesus did was establish the fact that I am God. And even the Jews knew that, because what did they accuse him of? Blasphemy. Here's this man who says he's God. He says, "That's right, I am God. You know, you don't believe it, that's your problem." And he's already, now we know at least there's two persons. Now, in the Godhead, the Father and the Son, at least that. And we even have manifestations of, before Jesus really told the people, told us, all of us, the apostles, when he rose from the dead, and then told them, "Hey, you have to now believe that the Father is God, the Son is God, me, Jesus is God, and guess what? The Holy Ghost is God also. And you've got to believe all of this." And the crowning verse for that is the one we read in the scripture today, Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. He says, "Go forth and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and they all have equal rank." Jesus is now throwing the Holy Trinity verse right out in their face and telling them that. And there's the three persons mentioned by Jesus himself. And so Jesus then introduces to them that indeed the Holy Ghost is God. There were hints of this even when he was preaching. He even says in John 16, verse 12 to 13, he says, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them. But when the Spirit of truth has come, he will teach you all truth." Now we're listening, the Spirit of truth is not just the wisdom of God from his mind, it's a he. The Spirit of truth is a person. You call a person a he. Jesus is always, who is the Spirit of truth? Jesus seems to be talking about the Holy Ghost as if it's a real living entity, a real person. And indeed it is. He's saying, he, the Holy Ghost, will teach you truth. "For he shall not speak of himself, but what things soever he shall hear, he shall speak, and the things that are to come he shall show you. And he proceedeth from the Father and the Son." And we'll get into that later. That's another heresy that we're not going to deal with here, but the Greek schismatics and the schismatics are broke away. They don't believe the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Son. But if the Father and the Son are both God, then how come the Holy Ghost proceed from only one and not both? It's a backward way of almost denying the divinity of Christ. But we're not here to mention that. We're here to prove to you that the doctrine and dogma of the Holy Trinity, which is clearly throughout all the Scriptures, clearly throughout, and held by all the early church fathers up to all the centuries, even the Protestant heretics held on to that one. You know, even they held on to that particular dogma. But then the Jehovah's Witnesses, of course, came along later on and resurrected the Arian type of heresy with their own new twists involved in there. And even the Mormons come out and they have their own version of it, which is totally different than the Jehovah's Witness version, in which they believe the church really was only created in 1880, so you had a whole gap where there was nothing around at that period of time. So now you have Jesus telling his apostles, when he resurrected from the dead, that not only indeed now am I God. Because even then, when he went to the road to Emmaus, they says, "Boy, we had a great prophet amongst us, and we thought he was going to be the one that was going to deliver us." They were confused. They didn't understand all the prophecies yet. So when Jesus rose from the dead is when he then drove all the prophecies home, showed them how he fulfilled all the prophecies, and told them clearly, "I am God." Boy, you guys are really thick of head. You didn't take a hint. How many times was I telling you back there? Hinting. Now, the beginning, he didn't want people to know that. But then as you started to say, Abraham and I, before Abraham was made, I am, you know? And how do they say it? That the Lord comes before David, and he comes after David. He's given, and he says, I am the Father of one. He tells the Jews, I am from the beginning. From the days of eternity, which is Micah 5:2. I don't want to get to those verses now, but there's a whole bunch of them where Jesus has proven he's God. Now, when he rises from the dead, that's when he starts teaching the apostles, hey, guess what? Not only is the Father God and I am God, but we're still only one God, even though we're two persons. You got a Holy Ghost who's God, which he even hinted at here in John 16. Okay? So he's now coming out literally telling them, I make that literally. The Holy Ghost really is the third person of the Holy Trinity. Now we have the dogma of the Holy Trinity being told to the apostles by Jesus, whom the apostles then incorporated into the apostles' creed from the very birth of the church, that dogma must be believed. Right out of the mouth of Jesus, right to the apostles, right into their creeds, right into all the future popes, and these bastards who come along like the Arians 300 years later and try to deny this, where are you getting this from? Why are you making this thing up? Do you guys even claim to be infallible? Do you be even guided by the Holy Ghost? And they don't. So all these things are made up. Even you people out there that might find it difficult to understand how God exists as three persons, one God, he does. There's many difficult things I can propose to you you'll never figure out. God's infinity. Try to figure that one out and your head will explode. Ain't nobody going to be able to figure that one out. I don't care who you are. Just play around with that one for a while and see what's going to happen to you. No one can understand how God could have existed from all eternity and never had a beginning. Now, the other verse that we use too is the beloved St. John, who comes right out clearly also, and this is another one I want you all to memorize. It's 1 John 5:7, where the beloved St. John says, and there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You Protestants don't like that? Tough. You don't believe the Catholics' interpretation of it? Not Protestants, they believe in that. I mean, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. You don't believe it? That's your problem. That's your problem, because you guys broke away from Holy Mother Church. Protestants have their problems, because they deny other dogmas. They're no different than the Jehovah's Witnesses, really, and the Mormons. Because what do I tell the Protestants? What do I tell them? I say to you Protestants out right now, how are you going to refute the Jehovah's Witness and say you're right and you're wrong when you allow people to interpret the Bible by their own whim, without a church determining what the truth of the matter is? If you Protestants can interpret the Scriptures any which way loose that you want, so there's like 27,000 different Protestant religions that preach a different thing, then what's to stop the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons from taking these verses where Jesus was condescending to his humanity, he wasn't talking about his divinity, and then presume that he's not God, he's only man? How could you refute them? They could sit in your face and say, are you infallible, Mr. Protestant? No, no man's infallible. And a Protestant can say to the Jehovah's Witness, are you infallible? No, we're not infallible neither. So then what are we? We're a bunch of idiots who are just passing forth opinions. You can't refute nobody when you don't claim to have a church that's infallible. How could you? You have nothing of certainty. And I've shown you people out here right now, all you people who claim to believe in the Bible, this is what your Bible is teaching. And us Catholics don't believe it just because the Bible teaches, it's because our Holy Mother Church tells us what we must believe. And I'm just showing you the verses that are proving Jesus Christ is saying that there are indeed three persons in one God. And then he passed it on to his apostles in an unbroken line through the Holy Catholic Church, through his popes. And that's where the Protestants get all the few dogmas that they hold on to. But they're worthless. Even the dogmas they believe in are not going to do them any good. It's sort of like heretical, because they believe them for the wrong reasons. Protestants don't believe in dogmas because the Catholic Church teaches, because it happens to agree with their personal opinion. Mm-hmm. So they really don't even believe in dogmas. They're only believing in opinions in the end. But my point is, with these people who want to go around and take verses out of context, we can play that game forever. We can take verses out of context forever to try to prove one point to another, but to be honest about anything, and any pagan even knows this, you have to take into consideration the whole doctrine. And I'm showing you here clearly where Jesus, one time he's saying he's man. Well, it sounds like he's saying he's only man, but here he's saying he's God. We got a mystery. What's that mystery? Both of those things must be true. How could they be true? They could be true because Jesus Christ is God, and he is man, even though he's one person, a divine person. That's the mystery. And the mystery of the Holy Trinity too, which is three persons in one God. Now, I gave you the key verses that you want to use against people on that. Now, we also will end it up with the verses where we also have in the New Testament, when Jesus is going through his mission, his public mission, we also have manifestations of the Holy Trinity at the incarnation of Jesus, when he was conceived in the womb of Mary. We have a manifestation of the Holy Trinity at Jesus' baptism, when John was baptizing him. And we have a manifestation of the Holy Trinity at the Transfiguration, when Jesus was transfigured. And the incarnation verse is Luke 1:35, the baptism verse is Luke 3:22, and the transfiguration verse is Matthew 17:5. We read from the incarnation, Luke 1:35, and the angel answering said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, and therefore also the Holy which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Here we have the God on high sending the Holy Ghost down, also the third person of the Holy Trinity, to make the conception happen in the womb of Mary, so that then the Son would enter into the womb and take on the flesh and call the Son of God. We have the three persons being implied in there. And I would say to people, I don't know, yeah, the Macedonians, you know, how could they... Think about the Macedonian heresy, where they believed Jesus was God and the Holy Ghost was God, not God, but Jesus and the Father was God. What's going on here? If the Holy Ghost was the active principle that the conception come about, and Jesus was the one that was in the womb, then if the Holy Ghost isn't God, then how could Jesus be God? How could he be generated from a power that's anything less than God? This is a refutation of the Macedonian heresy, which tries to say the Holy Ghost isn't God. Here the Holy Ghost is coming in and bringing God the Son down through his instrumentation into the womb of Mary. And preparing the flesh. Now we read in here of the baptism of Jesus when he was baptized by St. John the Baptist in the Jordan. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape as a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased." Luke 3:22. Now we have the Father speaking from heaven, the Holy Ghost appearing upon Jesus, and Jesus God the Son on earth. What did the modalists say about that? That Jesus was a ventriloquist, he was throwing his voice, so it sounds like it's coming from heaven. And he also like put a mirage up there of a Holy Ghost to pretend he's also a Holy Ghost. Because according to the modalists, Jesus was everything all in one. There was no three persons. That means Jesus is also lying. Why would God have to lie? If your modalist heresy is true, why would he say such a thing as this? Why would he deceive all of us? Why would he do such a thing as this? And again, I'm just proving to these people from their own Bibles and from their own scripture verses where they're wrong. Okay? And then they're going to say, well, I think my opinion's right. Well, first of all, your own scriptures condemn you. That's common sense in God's grace even. You don't even have to know what the Catholic Church teaches. You don't. If you never heard of the Catholic Church and you're raised as a modalist and you read that passage, you say, I got a problem with this, Mr. Modalist preacher. I got a problem. I got the Father talking from heaven, and I got the Holy Ghost over here. Are you saying Jesus drew his voice and was fooling us, and that he appears as the Holy Ghost? You're saying God is a liar, and we have other scriptures saying it's impossible for God to lie. That's what I call an ABC-er. You don't even need to know about the Catholic Church at all. You can just be on this whole island that's modalist island, and that's all they are. They never heard of the Catholic Church or the papacy. But they can know that. They can get up and say, I caught you lying, I'm sorry. Even in your own textbooks, it doesn't agree. And God's grace is motivating all those modalists to see that. God is over there showering his grace upon us, saying, open up your eyes, Mr. Modalist. Open it up. Open it up. Ask the question. Come on, ask the question. Now, if the modalist on an island does that, and he says, you know, I don't go for this thing that it's just only one person. There's obviously three people going on here. There's three persons. Three things are happening here. It's not just this. Then, if he resists and he asks the preacher that question, God will give him actual graces and start to enlighten him even more. God promises that if you do your best, and if you do what your duty is in your current circumstances, which I call reject the basic falsehoods that all religions have, and God is certainly motivating you to expose those falsehoods, because God is not the father of lying, does not like liars. He wants you to see those lies. He will then get the Catholic dogmas and teachings to you. That's why we call everybody who's been baptized, who's a Protestant, or a formal heretics. Because even if they didn't hear the Catholic Church at all, faith without deeds, open your own Bibles and you can see you're wrong. So, we're looking right here again. We go into Transfiguration when we have a manifestation of the Father overshadowing the Son. At the Transfiguration, Matthew 17:5, it says, as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. End quote. Now, at least from this verse, we know there's a God the Father and a God the Son. And once Jesus revealed to them that he is God, and they know about the Father, and Jesus then told them they had to believe in it, you go back and look at these verses, you can see what's happening here. Again, the modalists would have to say Jesus was a ventriloquist again. He threw his voice up into heaven, speaking to himself, lying to the people. Most Holy Trinity, have mercy on us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And grants us all the graces we need to be good Catholics and to save our souls. And we pray that you may have mercy upon those known to you out there who are of goodwill, so that you may give them all the grace and help they need to convert and come into the one true church, your holy Catholic Church, outside of which there is no salvation. And it's not the Vatican II Church, and it's not the traditionalist so-called Catholic Church, and it's not all these Sadie Vacantist churches even that are holding on to heresies. The only church place I know where to church now is right here at Mary's Little Remnant in Truth or Consequences in New Mexico, and we're slowly but surely adding to our flock, and it will grow. And I hope I'll be part of that, but I always tell our brothers here, let us all stay faithful to the end, because at any moment, as long as we live, we can still fall out and lose our souls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.